Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott, this is Free Fire Radio.
And good morning. It is KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio, and it's Thursday morning. And this is Trish Clark because it's Thursday morning. And Carl and Linda are gone, and so I'll be hosting the show today and again tomorrow. So looking forward to spending time with you. If you have something you'd like to join in the conversation, give us a call at 605-4567 and jump in the chat room at KCNR1460.com. It is 59 degrees in downtown Reading, and gosh, just balmy out there. We're looking for a high today of 84 and a low this evening of 58. On Friday, it's going to be sunny and a high of 88 and a low of 58. On Saturday, 74, slight chance of showers, and showers likely Saturday night with a low of 57. On Sunday, showers likely, a high of 64 and a low of 56, really down in there. And then on Monday, a high of 74 and a low of 56. And a chance of showers all through next week. So let's hope those develop into real rain and not thunderstorms in the mountains. That wouldn't be a good deal. We'll hope that that doesn't happen. The weather is always brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends, locally owned and operated. They give veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793. Nice Anderson-owned business. And we got Nathan at the helm today. Good morning, Nathan. He's going to try and keep me straight and keep me in the right direction.
And who's our other guest?
And I'm joined today by candidate for Anderson City Council and current City Councilman Mike Gallagher.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mike. So we're trying here to, as everybody knows, we've got, it's election time, and it's important that we all get involved. And if you're not involved and you don't know the candidates that are on your ballot, we're trying to give you an opportunity to become familiar with them. We have a lot of issues in our country and across the United States and certainly in our community, and the way we solve them is right here at the local level. The important races are the school boards, the fire districts, the city councils, the board of supervisors, our local elected positions. You need to be paying attention. You need to be voting, and if you're not, then you're part of the problem. That's my soapbox. So this morning we're going to find out about Mike Gallagher. Tell us about Mike Gallagher and how you got on the city council to begin with and why you're running again.
Okay.
Let's start with just who is Mike Gallagher?
Who is Mike Gallagher? Well, I was born and raised in Northern California. I was born in Corning and raised in the little town of Los Molinos and graduated from high school there and moved to Reading in 1986. Worked my whole life, in most of that career was in the HVAC industry, and loved that job, and then came here in 86, and I married my beautiful wife Deanna in 2001, in August of 2001, and we have four kids between us, and they're all adult, and we have nine grandchildren.
Oh, nice.
Now and counting. We're looking for a few more along the way. Should be a couple more, so we're excited about that. Loved Anderson. We moved there in 2013, so from Reading to Anderson in 2013, and we just love it there. It's the perfect size town. We've got lots of great stuff going on, as you well know. It's a wonderful town to live in. And so I've for years said one of the things I love is I have deer walking through my yard in the mornings, but I'm only a couple minutes away from Safeway, there's that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, just big fan of Anderson but let me say a little more about Mike. I'm looking at the one of the statements I love most about the Second Amendment. I'm a big fan of that, as you well know, Trish. We've taken a couple classes together, so believe in that. I'm a pretty firm believer. I was thinking on the way up the road about that, and if we if they ever succeed at taking the Second Amendment away, the First Amendment only is going to last a couple of weeks.
So, there you go.
You know, we need to stand firm on that. You know, personal freedoms, all those things I think are super important.
Refresh my memory. Was there a vacancy on the city council, and were you appointed last time, or did you run originally?
I was. So the longer version of that is in 2014, when Baron Browning got elected, he appointed me to the Planning Commission. So I did that for a little over four years. And then when Norma Komnik had won an election but could not fulfill after about 6 months or so, mm-hmm. so they asked if I would come up and put my hat in the ring for an appointment. So I was appointed. And then ran unopposed. The rules are that I had to run an election. I had to run for that seat, on the next cycle, even though it's the way the rules are. Just the rules, don't have to agree with them, but, ran unopposed and now we get to run a real campaign, and I'm excited about that. So, yeah, that was, you know, jokingly, we blame Barron for most of this. So that being said, but I've been, you know, I've really enjoyed it. It was a steep learning curve. You know, it takes, as you well know, it takes a little while to get your feet under you and really understand how the system works and how things actually go and laws that we have to follow, whether you like them or not. And then, you know, finding that balance between, you know, that's what the state says we're going to do, and then this is what we get to do locally. And, you know, we're super excited about, you know, the things that we've been able to accomplish in Anderson over the last, you know, couple of years, for sure.
And I think the time on the Planning Commission is well spent, because it enables you to get a better picture of how the inside of government really works and the hoops we have to go through to do anything.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I agree 100%.
Which has that. A big impact in my idea of how well a city does. You guys at the city of Anderson, from my perspective, have been able to kind of present a picture of we're open for business and how can we help you be successful.
Yeah,
which is certainly something that we probably need to strive throughout the rest of the county.
Well, I've said it a bunch of times. I'm thankful we don't have some of the issues that the city of Reading battles. You know, they're just a larger entity and they have to deal with more, but we have similar problems as well that we navigate. And I think our leadership has done that incredibly well. I think for probably 8 years, you know, it's been going in the right trajectory. And the other thought I had this morning driving up the 5 was, you know, this is a longer game play than most of us that came out of the private sector ever thought. You know, you can make things happen in the private sector, where in the public, it just takes a little longer. You have to play a little longer game when you want to accomplish something. And I think that's one of the things that I've learned. So you have to be a little more patient and you have to keep pushing on a project. If you want to see it come to fruition, you have to be committed to it and push for it. So, but in Anderson, you know, we're seeing some great things, great development. The gas station, Maverick gas station's being built. We've got a car wash that's in and just broke ground recently. And of course, NorCal Rents has built a first class facility there along the freeway, and couldn't be more excited for Neil and Chelsea. They're doing it right, doing it well. They're employing a lot of people and we're super excited that they're there and so are they. And we're just seeing the right things happen for the right reasons. It never develops as fast as we'd like, but we're pretty excited about the trajectory we're on right now. So
there's a lot of things going on right now in the community. There was a lot of permits pulled just before the last change in laws for housing up in that one area.
Yeah.
You know, as you indicate, we certainly are not unaffected by the issues that the other rest of the county does, but we've successfully been able to deal with some of them a little better.
Yeah.
This now we do have 2 open seats. We have 3 people running for them, and there's, you know, when we come back after this break, let's talk about some of the stuff that you've been involved in make happening. And see if we can convince the people out there why they should vote for Mike Gallagher for Anderson City Council again.
Let's go.
We'll be right back after these messages.
listening to people who are angry all the time?
Try listening to Armstrong and Getty from 9 to noon right after Free Fire Radio.
Gold Leaf Nursery is open. Have you noticed all the different colors of crepe myrtles blooming? They have several varieties and colors. Dwarf size, semi-dwarf, up to full size to choose from. And right now, they're on sale. And they are drought tolerant. It's a great time to buy. Gold Leaf Nursery carries a large selection of water-wise shrubs and trees. Gold Leaf Nursery and Landscaping since 1975. Open Wednesday through Saturday. Come in now to pick out your favorite color of crepe myrtles. Gold Leaf Nursery, located on Churn Creek Road, a quarter mile from Airport Road, across from Tucker Oaks Golf Course.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
At Shasta Regional Medical Center, we're specialists in emergency care with the experience and training to deliver expert diagnosis and treatment to all emergency patients. Shasta Regional Medical Center is certified as an advanced primary stroke facility and is one of the nation's 50 top cardiovascular hospitals and is a fully accredited chest pain center. In an emergency, when every minute has meaning and every second counts, choose Shasta Regional Medical Center, your choice for emergency care. Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring for our community when minutes matter.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlus Tap House and Mobile Catering, of course. Charlus Pizza, pasta, and more made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlus will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy Mambo Pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlus today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous Sundial Steak Salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlus Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlus Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlus Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlus Tap House and Mobile Catering in two locations, Anderson Outlets and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlus Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlus Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
How's school, son?
Okay.
Just okay?
Yeah, Mom. I'm the smartest kid in the world. Now, can I borrow the car keys?
No, what happened?
There was some drama in the parking lot. Someone backed into my buddy's car. I'm meeting him at Mako.
Mako Collision Repair and Auto Painting Center at 3045 Crossroads Drive. Now, did you call ahead and make an appointment at 530-226-0992?
Yep.
You are my smartest child.
Mom, I'm your only child.
Uh-oh. Better call Mako. Mako Collision Repair and Auto Painting Center at 3045 Crossroads Drive. Call for your free estimate at 530-226-0992.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at kcnr1460.com. Tune in to Mark Levin, Dave Ramsey, and Ben Shapiro. Plus, don't miss our local shows, including Free Fire Radio on KCNR.
Come back. This is KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, Your Talk Radio. Jump into the chat room if you've got a question for candidate Michael Gallagher for the Anderson City Council. Give us a call at 605-4567. This portion of the show is brought to us by Cornerstone Community Bank, a community-oriented, dedicated team of professionals committed to providing the highest level of personal service. They have branches, three in Reading, one in Red Bluff, and their newest branch in Anderson. I'm forgetting what street's on. It's on Balls Ferry Road. Anyway, yes. So we welcome Cornerstone Bank to Anderson, and they're an integral part of our community moving forward. So we're visiting with Councilman Mike Gallagher, Anderson City Councilman, and he's also a candidate. This election's coming up. If you're living in Anderson and you have questions about anything that's going on, this is your opportunity to ask them and get them answered. So one of the things that certainly is an issue throughout the county and constantly is the homeless issue. We are not unaware of that. However, we have not been impacted Talk to me about how you the council has mixed in that thing to try to kind of curb that and control that.
Well, I think it, you know, most people know about our police department. You know, the half-cent sales tax that was passed prior to my coming on the council has been really, really effective to bolster our police department to do what they need to do to keep our city safe and clean. And we it's not that we don't have homeless in our community. We do. And we've actually had a fire recently that was apparently started by some folks who are unsheltered, and it's unfortunate. My wife actually is working in that space, trying to figure out and work with the communities to help with that issue. I'm very proud of her for doing that. Instead of, you know, kind of pushing them around the community and the county. So proud of her for the work she's doing in that space. But it's hard work. Let's just be honest. It's very difficult work. Those folks are incredibly broken. And so, you know, we're hoping that maybe some different ideas in that area will help. But the truth of the matter is we've, allowed our police department to say, hey, if they are breaking the law, then we're gonna make sure that we do what's needed to take care of that. And that's been, an amazing, help for our community, right? I think that that's super important. But, you know, speaking of our police department, every other department is doing amazing in that. Our, you know, we've funded them a new, traffic motorcycle, and we have an officer who's passionate about traffic control and safety, and he's, going with that. We've got a full sworn staff. I think we're 22 or 23 sworn officers, which is amazing because that's been a challenge for every jurisdiction around. So,
I think we're the only fully staffed, not looking for staff agency in the county.
And you know, we're super grateful for Sheriff Johnson's work there in Anderson for the eight plus years that he was there. I believe it was 8 years that, you know, he turned the department around and did amazing things, but also a huge shout out to Chief John Paletsky, who has just taken it to the next level and really doing amazing work with our department. So, you know, we're believing for a new facility for him because they're busting at the seams there in that little building. So that's something that we're kind of excited about, looking how we can do that.
I was not aware of that. So we're in the process of looking at that possibility.
Well, when the police department moved there into that building, I believe they were 8 or 10 sworn officers.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're double that plus staff. So, and storage and all the other things. So it's out there. We're going to be working on that for sure. That's something that's a focus for us to try to figure out how to get them a facility.
Well, now the city owns and the police department owns a lot of that property there. They own the building next to it. I think there are actually people in there, I would assume, in the old real estate office that's right next to the police department.
That is still part of their department. They utilize that. But
okay, and then the one next to it where the coffee thing is, mm-hmm. I think we own that.
I think that whole stretch in there. But, you know, there's always lots of angles on that. Trish, as you well know, that's retail space. So do we want a police department there? Do we want to see some retail go in there? And do we move them to a more suitable area? We don't, you know, those are all questions that are mm-hmm. out there and that we're looking for answers for. So, I can get excited about that stuff. You know, they're doing the work, right? Our police department is absolutely, you know, doing the work, doing what they're asked and exceedingly well. And, you know, we want to resource that. So part of that is a building that better suits the size. And we want to look down in the future, you know, and build something that's capable for.
And appropriately located when the big move and point. Now we're going back to a few years because we moved from the old one to the new one while I was involved on the city council.
Yeah.
And the main reason there was to get it on the other side of town.
Right.
Because we were on the other side of the railroad tracks, which can be probably not as big an impediment as it today as it was then.
Sure.
But there we had so many trains during that period going through that. That could be a big deal if all three of the intersections, and it happened a lot, where all three of the intersections across the railroad track would be blocked, which put our fire department and our police department on the old side of town and the new development on the other side of town, like, totally uncovered. You couldn't get there from here.
Right. And there's, you know, I'm learning in government that there's not always just a simple, straightforward answer. There's mm-hmm. lots of things to consider, and that's why it takes a little longer, and you have to be willing to push on it for a long period of time to find the right solution. And that'll come. I'm believing that that's going to be something that we're going to see. I don't know when. You know, we don't have a time frame. I'm not mm-hmm. going to throw any dates out there because that's not wise. But it is something that we know we need, and they deserve it. You know, our police department's amazing.
It is. And so, I mean, certainly it does, like you say, take a while to figure out all the ins and outs and how this whole system works. We have the incumbent running in this race, and then we have two people also competing who have never held elective office. So there's always new and room. And then, of course, Mayor Browning is running for the Board of Supervisors, so he'll be giving up his seat there. So mm-hmm. that's the extra seat that's up.
Yep. Yeah. If I could, too, Trisha, just you know, kind of brag on Anderson a little bit. You know, we also have an amazing parks department. You know, our Anderson River Park is one of our little crown jewels there in Anderson, and you celebrated 40th year of the Mosquito Serenade, which was over the top this year.
Yes.
I think COVID might have had something to do with that because people just want to get out. I can tell you I walked through the crowds every concert, and people were just – it was just so fun to be there and see people just getting out, getting back to community. You know, a lot of those folks, I think that's where they see each other, you know, mm-hmm, at that mm-hmm. concert. And so seeing those reconnections and people just having a blast and great music. We had an amazing lineup this year. Big shout-out to Jeff Kieser, who really kind of, you know – owns that one. He's really passionate about that, and of course we lost the Harry
Sipple.
Sipple, and you know,
Harry was the originator way back in the day when we had the Marcy brothers were local people, the ones we first started with, and gosh, we used to bring those bands to town and feed them and find a place for them to sleep and the whole deal back in the day when it was all free and pass the bucket and nobody got paid for performing, and it's come a long way in 40 years since then.
And Pam Tillis, I don't know if you were at the show, but it was just amazing.
Yeah,
it was so great
close for the season.
But a big shout out to those folks that work for the Parks Department that show up and do the job every day, and when we ask them to spend a long day there on a concert night on a Wednesday, they just do it, and they're smiling, and they're doing such a great job. I'm really a big fan of all those folks, and every department, Public Works, you know, they're doing a great job. I'm a big fan of maintaining what you have. I think that's super important. We kind of lost that in our society. You know, everything's kind of just a throwaway thing.
Yeah, replace, need a new one.
And yet we just, you know, so two of the things that came to mind this morning was we recoded our water tower. You know, people don't see that. It's not something that's out there. It's not a very sexy project, but you know, the fact of the matter is it was needing a recoat, and we funded that and got that done, and that's maintenance. So now it's good to go for a long time. We cape sealed, you might have saw, we cape sealed North Street up to the bridge and Riverside Drive, and that's, you know, that's going to give us a long time that we're not going to have to spend infrastructure dollars on that stuff. So it wasn't cheap, but it's cheaper than rebuilding a roadway. So big fan of that. You know, our freshwater, our wastewater department, you know, those guys are and gals are doing an amazing job for us. So just super thrilled and honored to be in Anderson and seeing, you know, these great people that show up and do the work. You know, they just keep showing up. So
when we come back after this message, we're going to talk a little bit more about the water issue in the South County and how Anderson plays into that. This portion of the show is brought to us by Four Winds Jewelers, 2225 Hilltop Drive in Reading. And that's, gosh, like my favorite little store to go make me feel better when I feel like I need something special. It's like a candy store. And so they're the only full-service jewelry store in Reading, have great estate jewelry collection. They make things for you. They have all kinds of consignment things available, and a great turquoise collection, all kinds of fun stuff, and the only watch repair in Shasta County. So Four Winds Jewelers, it's like a candy store for everybody to shop. Girl can't have too many diamonds or too many guns. We'll be right back after this message.
There ain't no sunshine when he's gone, and he's always gone too this time when he's gone.
Join Turtle Bay and Dutch Bros Coffee on Thursday, September 22nd for Caffeinate for a Cause. From 7 to 9 a.m. and 2 to 4 p.m., $1 from all drink sales and tips given to our honorary baristas go towards supporting Turtle Bay's educational programs. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
Now, this is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
If you trust the government, if you believe the misinformation they're telling you is fact, you won't like our show, Poke the Hornet's Nest.
Hi, I'm your host, Doug Janke, and along with co-host Nick Gardner, we'll expose the dark side of governmental deception and misinformation from our local level, statewide, and to the national and world views.
On second thought, maybe government believers should listen to the view of two middle-class, well-informed, working Americans.
Be sure to tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest every other Sunday right here on KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM, and 1460 AM, 8 to 9 every other Sunday morning.
And remember, you don't have to believe the artificial intelligence these people with college degrees are telling you, because sometimes they're misleading you. Listen to the other side of the news.
Join Turtle Bay and Dutch Bros Coffee on Thursday, September 22nd for Caffeinate for a Cause. From 7 to 9 a.m. and 2 to 4 p.m., $1 from all drink sales and tips given to our honorary baristas go towards supporting Turtle Bay's educational programs. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
And the bass keeps running, running, and 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 running, running, and
in this context, there's no disrespect, so when I bust my rhyme, you break your neck. We got 5 minutes for us to disconnect from all intellect and let the rhythm affect.
Okay, welcome back, KCNR 96.5. That was a different song. I wasn't sure whether that was an advertisement or a song, but okay. 96.5 wow. Amateur.
Come on.
Hey.
Wow. Let's get it started.
I know. So, well, yeah, it's early. It's early, Nathan. It's early.
Nathan at the helm.
Yes, 1460 AM, your talk radio. It's Thursday morning, and this is Trish Clark. Carl and Linda are gone. For those of you joining us, if you've got a question for the candidate Mike Gallagher, Anderson City Council, our current city councilman, you can give us a call at 605-4567. And we're just kind of talking about some of the things, the issues in the city of Anderson, and trying to let you people know what decision you have to make coming up. You have three people in the city of Anderson who are running for two seats. So you need to know a little bit about them, and we're going to try and do that in the next few sessions here and visit with all of them. We talked just before we went to the break, Mike, about the water in the city of Anderson and to explain how the city of Anderson gets their water.
Right. 100% pumped out of the aquifer that has about 60 plus years of water available if it never gets another drop, is how we'd like to explain it. We do not take any surface water. Everything, and of course, as you know, so that supplies those that are on meters, and then we also have quite a few wells. You know, I live in the city of Reading, or Freudian slip. I live in the city of Anderson within the boundary, but like you, I'm on my own well. So we're thrilled about that. And then of course the statement has to be, you know, and I'm super proud of Jeff Keyser because he's been to those water meetings and said, hey, you can't tell, the state loves to do these brush strokes, these broad brush strokes of mandates and executive orders and, really probably unlawful things if we were to be really.
Well, I don't think there's any question that the state and federal government are hanging out a mile here.
Yeah. And so, but, you know, it's apples and oranges, right? So we do have some places that are really suffering and don't have water. And it's heartbreaking when you look at some of those Central Valley orchards and farms that are dependent on the Sacramento River to flow water to them, and they mm-hmm. pump that stuff out of there to tell a city like Anderson that they have to cut back on their water usage when we don't have a water shortage. There is not a water shortage, and it does create, it's one of our two ways that we create revenue. So when he tells us, you know, everybody has to cut back on water, it actually drops our revenues that helps with our infrastructure and those things. So it's kind of frustrating as an elected, I can tell you, when they send these mandates that are statewide mandates and uh-huh. everybody's going to cut back.
Yeah, we know that we do that on a regular basis. We have a phone call. Ron?
This is Rourke.
Rourke. Rourke. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
We're doing well. How are you?
Good. I just had a question and I think maybe a comment. It might lead into that or something, but okay. for the Mr. Gallagher.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Go ahead, Rourke. I'm here.
Oh, okay. Hey, yeah, I had two things. Because I live in Anderson, but I'm in the county, not in the actual city. So it might not be directed with you, but I wanted your opinion and stuff. In regards to the homeless, I don't know what has happened because as far as the increase in homeless, I've been in the area for 56 years, and I can tell you, I don't think it's a money issue because when people talk about money for homeless, there was less money back when I grew up, and there was way less homeless people. So I don't know if it's an enforcement thing or whatever it is, but there has to be something other than throwing money at the homeless. Just throwing money at something because we're way wealthier now. I want to say this as far as money. We have a lot of money. And I just don't see how the homeless has gotten so out of hand. But the other thing, I wanted to ask you about that as far as just not throwing money at the program for the homeless people. I feel bad for them, and I want them to be in a better spot. But the other one is the building department for the county of Shasta is the most un-user-friendly department I have ever dealt with in my life. And I believe if they would be more easier to build, it would make it less, people would be more encouraged to do it because it is extremely difficult to build anything for just the average person. A big developer might be a different story, but I think a lot of people would build second homes or, small dwellings or whatever it may be if they were allowed to, but they are very difficult to work with. So it's two different subjects, but I think they're tied together. My question would be to you is what other alternatives besides just throwing money at the homeless would you propose if you were elected?
Well, that's a great question. So let me see if I can navigate this. First off, you know, Housing First, which is state mandated to the best of my knowledge, you know, mandated by a governor who questionable whether he cares or not, but that's kind of at the state level, they just throw a lot of money at it. I just happened to be at a conference in Long Beach last week and sat in on a homeless discussion, and, you know, we spend a ton of money trying to get them sheltered. Most people know, especially, I don't know, I'm not going to ask your age, but I'm 58 and change, and it was the same. I mean, I'm old enough to remember when the homeless issue wasn't a problem because, generally speaking, we took care of folks. You know, we didn't let people lay in the gutters, and the family was more important then. So if you destroy that, then you're going to have a larger homeless problem. I agree. We're spending... I don't know what the budget from the state level is, but I'm sure there's a B involved at least. So I agree 100%, Rourke, that it's not a money issue. It's a strategy issue. And we could probably do a lot better with less taxpayer dollars that are being spent, because I'm all for sheltering people if you do all the wraparound services for them, right? There's, you know, there's a lot of people who have been incredibly deeply wounded, sexual abuse, physical abuse, substance abuse. You know, you can go through, you know, we talk about ACEs all the time, but we can't seem to tie that together with our homeless problem yet. I'm not criticizing anybody, but it seems, you know, we're learning the whys, but we haven't made the jump that you can't just stick people in a hotel room. They're going to fail. Right? But we spend, I don't even get me started on that one. So we've spent a lot of taxpayer dollars on just sheltering people. Do people need to get sheltered when it's extremely dangerous weather? Of course. It's cruel not to. But if you don't do the wraparound services and the counseling and the mentoring is a huge deal. It works for every age out there. I need mentoring, you know, still. And I'm thankful for a few strong men around me that straighten me up occasionally. So, you know, on the homeless issue, this is where we're failing on the homeless issues. And I spoke, you know, you might have heard earlier, my wife's involved in a more robust way of helping them. Yes, it's shelter, but it's also you're going to have to have to be sheltered. You're going to have to come through a drug rehabilitation program, and then we'll get you sheltered, but you're going to have at least one mentor, if not two or three, to walk them through this process that takes years. It's not, you know, we can't fix these folks. Not that they're our project, that's foolish, but they can't get well and whole and without some time, you know, that it just takes a lot of time, and we have to be committed to that. The state is not interested. They just want to stick them, hide them in a hotel room somewhere, and on yours and my dime, and it's not the fix. And it's only gotten worse, right? So we all know, it's not, nobody's unaware now anymore that we've spent tenfold the money, and we have tenfold the problem, right? From now, if you're talking about three or four decades, that's probably the case.
And if I might, that's a good answer, Mike. Yep. And if your second question about the county planning department might be well served if you'd call back in the next hour and speak with Chris Kellstrom, who is a candidate for the Board of Supervisors, who might have something to say about that solution, because you've definitely hit on a problem.
You took thanks the words for your call, Rourke. Yeah, thanks, Rourke.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, guys. Well, I appreciate it. I just see, I've tried to do a few things as far as real estate. I'm not a developer or anything like that, but you guys, if you guys haven't had an experience, go try and build something and see what you encounter. And there's a lot of impediments because we don't have the money to do everything that's required.
Gotcha.
And I'm not saying that would fix the solution or not the, or the homeless issue, but I appreciate your answer. It was very thought out. And good luck on your run, and you guys have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you for the phone call.
You know, Trish, if I could, I think it's fair to say this. I flipped a house out in Happy Valley a couple of years ago. My approach to the county building department was, I walked in there, I was very humble. I said, hey, this is what I'm doing. I don't know all the laws and the rules, but what I do know is when I walk away from this property and put it on the market, I don't want there to be an issue if they want to put solar in or they want to do an improvement. I want everything permitted. And I had a great experience. I worked with almost everyone there because it was a really long project. It was a very large, property. I probably got in over my head, but I found then, this was a number of years ago, but I really had a good experience with the county. Now, things may have changed. I don't know who's running the show now, but...
Well, I think if you look at the history, you're the exception rather than the rule. Yeah. It's been a nightmare for years, and it just doesn't seem to get better.
Planning is just an interesting animal.
Planners are interesting people.
Well, I didn't say that. Yeah. I said planning.
Yeah. Okay. So, all right. We appreciate that. So we're going to take a break after these messages and come back with some final thoughts and any more of your questions if you'd like to call at 605-4567. This portion of the show has been brought to us by Maxwell Insurance and Financial. All your insurance and financial needs under one roof. Helping families, veterans, seniors, and business owners since 1993. They're located at 1378 Hilltop Drive. Judy is just one of these wonderful people to deal with. She takes personal interest in all of her clients. Give them a call at 221-0441. We'll be right back after these messages.
The elders of our community, men and women who've led commendable lives. After working hard, raising families, serving their communities, and some serving our country, many find their safety and well-being is at risk. They risk losing their health, independence, and becoming vulnerable to many forms of abuse. The good news is we can all make a difference. Shining Care invites you to the Healthy Aging Fair. Make plans to attend September 15th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Orchard Nutrition Center, 221 Locust Street in Reading. Drive through and grab your free goodie bag filled with resourceful information or park and visit all of the resource booths. Age well by visiting the Healthy Aging Fair September 15th, 10 to 1. For more info, go to shiningcare.org and we'll see you at Orchard Nutrition Center for the Healthy Aging Fair September 15th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Special thanks to our community partners, PSA2 Area Agency on Aging, Long-Term Care Ombudsman Program, and Orchard Nutrition Center.
Gold Leaf Nursery is open. Have you noticed all the different colors of crepe myrtles blooming? They have several varieties and colors. Dwarf size, semi-dwarf, up to full size to choose from. And right now, they're on sale. And they are drought tolerant. It's a great time to buy. Gold Leaf Nursery carries a large selection of water-wise shrubs and trees. Gold Leaf Nursery and Landscaping since 1975. Open Wednesday through Saturday. Come in now to pick out your favorite color of crepe myrtles. Gold Leaf Nursery, located on Churn Creek Road, a quarter mile from Airport Road, across from Tucker Oaks Golf Course.
Are you new to crypto? It can leave you feeling unsure of what to do. Help is available. From getting started to securing your cryptos, you don't need to go it alone. Bitcoin 530 will take you by the hand to help you move forward with your crypto journey. Schedule a free consultation with Bitcoin 530 at bitcoin530.io. Or give them a call at 530-324-5175. That's Bitcoin530.io.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier in all we do.
Premier Oil Change has been locally owned and operated since we opened in 2006, enjoying long-term relationships with our team members and loyal guests. Many of our team members have worked with us for over 10 years. Many of our certified technicians have logged over 30,000 oil changes, working on hundreds of different vehicle makes and models. In an ever-changing world, we strive to keep up with change with our extensive training program. It's important to the staff at Premier Oil Change that our customers' cars are well taken care of by experienced, well-trained technicians. So you can depend on your vehicle to get you and your family to your destination. Don't forget that you can earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Reading on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park or our newest location in Anderson across from Roundtable. Remember, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Hi, this is Matt. I'm your host of Liberty Unabashed, a new show on Sundays, 8 to 9. We're going to have some good music, some deep thought, and I hope you check us out.
And welcome back. This is KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. You can jump into the chat room at KCNR1460.com or give us a call at 605-4567. It's heating up in Reading. It's about 60 degrees outside now, and it's going to heat up to about just 87 today, I believe, 84. So mostly clear, a low tonight of 59. The weather, as always, is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. So, Mike, final thoughts. And one of the things I'd like to expand on is the sewer treatment plant, the location and how that all works, because we have a competing sewer plant across the river from where ours is. And unfortunately, we, from time to time, have a balancing of chemicals. And they keep trying to tell me that's the City of Anderson plant, and it's not. It's the City of Reading plant across the street. I don't think a lot of people are even aware where our sewer plant is. You want to expand on that?
Well, it's something I'm not a chemist, so I'm a little, it's a little outside of my expertise on the balancing situation. I'm confident that we have the qualified people who have and, gone out and gotten those certifications and done the education, and they're doing a great job for us. Supply chain issue. So let me answer your question. Yes, they are on opposite sides of the river. They're upstream a hair, I think, 1,000 yards or so. And so, yeah, where do you test, right? Who's doing the testing and where are they testing at? You know, is that right at the outflow? Cause that, you know, then there's no,
the odor's on the bridge. And for is where we get the complaints continually. And if you drive over that bridge at a certain time at night, in the evening, yeah, you get a real odor.
Yeah.
When I mention it, they keep trying to tell me it's Anderson's plant. Well, I will tell you, Anderson's plant is located in the Anderson River Park. People picnic next to it on a regular basis and are, yeah, totally, completely unaware that that's where the plant is.
Generally speaking.
When I tell people that it's in the Anderson River Park, they look at me and go, no. I go, yeah, it is. It's been there for years. And I think we've actually gone outside our limits to the best of my knowledge, maybe two or three times in all that time.
And it's a moving target, right? So you're talking about, you know, chemical balances that are constantly changing. So I'm confident we're doing a good job. I'm not too interested in battling, you know, whether it's one plant or another. The fact of the matter is I walk my dog through the park because I live off Dodson Lane. And occasionally, depending on which way the wind happens to be blowing, and if it's a slight breeze, it's a little worse. You know, there's an odor. It's not going anywhere. Neither is the Reading plant, right? We're not going to move them at this point. That's infrastructure that's pretty, you know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's just that
we need to be constantly aware of the.
Yeah, and I, you know, it's a sewer plant, so it's going to have some odor attached to it. You can't avoid it, you know. So how, you know, I think sometimes it's not a constant problem. It's an occasional thing that happens. And, you know, I think as electeds, you know, we have to get after the things that are more constant problems, right? And we want to fix problems. But I think that there's, I think the Reading plant, because the state mandates that you stay within reason, right? You have to stay within the boundaries of the balance. Whatever those chemical balances are, you can be fined heavily. I mean, they threaten us with huge fines if we're not.
Yeah, that's absolutely.
You know, so I'm pretty confident that Reading is the treatment plant operators are doing their jobs there at the Reading plant as well. And it's a slight breeze issue and time of day, you know, at 5:30 to 7, those toilets probably get flushed a little more than they do at noon.
Yeah, it could be.
I'm just saying.
Okay, so we're in our last segment. Okay, yeah. Final thoughts?
Final thoughts.
In 4 more years, what do you anticipate addressing and moving forward with, and why do you want to serve 4 more years?
Yeah, I want to serve 4 more years because I'm getting my feet under me, as you well know, Trish. You know, it's, I feel confident now. Not overconfident, but confident. I understand how the system works. I've learned the protocols and how to operate within this space. It's different than in the private sector. I can promise you that it's not the same. It just doesn't work the same. And so finding my rhythm in that, having come out of the private sector and business and owning businesses, and it's a shift. You know, it doesn't work that way. So, but we can move forward. I'm confident that Anderson is on the right track, and I want to keep that trajectory that we're on. We're steady growth. Our police department squared away. I want to keep that. Don't change that. You know, keep that and keep funding that.
I have one other thing I wanted to address, and we've got a couple of minutes.
Just a couple of minutes.
In the city of Anderson, unlike the city of Reading, we have a separate fire department.
Yeah.
Which is a standalone special district. Yep. The Anderson Fire Protection District is not part of the city. And contrary to what people think, did not share in the revenue from the half-cent sales tax.
It does not.
When that was passed, it was believed public safety included police and fire. And that was an issue at the time, and people didn't really understand that.
Right.
And they still don't to this day. As everyone else probably knows, I am the chairman of the Anderson Fire Protection District, and we recognize that we need to be good partners and are with the city of mm-hmm. Anderson. Do you anticipate, because we're certainly talking about this on a regular basis,
sure.
some of the ways that the two departments can be involved, including sharing of funding from the city? Because mm-hmm. if the Anderson Fire Protection District is not there, the city of Anderson doesn't have a fire department.
Right.
So in my mind, I see it as part of the responsibility of the city to help us be successful as well. How do you anticipate that perhaps you could be involved in making that happen in the next 4 years?
Well, I think it's been a great working relationship. I'm a huge fan of Steve Lowe. I think Chief Lowe is doing a great job there. He's got, every time I happen to go over there and chat with his crew, they're amazing people. They're doing a great job for the area. I think we have recently partnered with them on the new water tanker truck. I think we allocated $100,000 towards that as the city, so we partnered with them. And that's, I think, if we can continue on that and just those, when it comes up and it works, we can do those things. I'm all for that. I voted yes on that allocation. Absolutely. We're going to partner with them on that. And and yet, you know, it's the challenge, Trish, as you've been in this game long time. The challenge is, you know, we don't have any jurisdiction over them. They're a separate board, just like ACID, completely separate board. We don't have any jurisdiction. We don't have jurisdiction over the schools, in spite of what we would like in society to have. Oops, I am so sorry about that. That's my beautiful daughter calling me at 8 o'clock in the morning, but she'll get a call back. But we can partner. And so I think we've done that fairly well in my tenure with the Anderson Fire Department, district. And I want to continue that for sure. It's vital, right? It's a vital thing. That half cent sales tax, as we were talking at the break, was passed before my tenure. So, I was not involved in writing that or doing anything to do with that. But so how that was worded and how that was communicated, you know, I'm not sure.
Well, but I don't think there was. I'm not indicating that there was any fraud any intentional
absolutely.
Of that. But it was certainly a perception and because it is, you know, we are a growing city. When the city grows, then we certainly have more opportunity and more demand for the fire department.
Yeah.
And as it expands and we get more businesses and those things,
the
fire department is having more calls and more need on a regular basis. So
absolutely.
We have to look at that and we have to, you know, move forward with it.
Yeah.
So.
And I'm a big fan of collaboration. My wife has taught me that over the years. I used to be a guy that was just head down to it myself because that's a little easier than, you know, working with people who you have to, you know, but I'm learning and I've learned, you know, when we collaborate, when we have good, solid conversations, you know, I think we can work together if we're willing, you know, but it takes a willing spirit, right? You have to be willing to do that. You know, the reality is there's some division.
Right.
And I think that we're a lot closer. If we had a good, solid conversation without the anger, I think we could probably realize that we're a lot closer than we are farther apart. It's just unfortunate that, you know, in the moment, it feels like there's some hindrance to that. So,
good conversation. We're running out of time. We're hitting the 8 o'clock hour. We've been visiting with Councilman Mike Gallagher from the city of Anderson, candidate, and be sure you're paying attention for the upcoming election. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back after the news. This is KCNR 96.5 FM. Thanks for listening.
The world is a vampire.
KCNR, Shasta, ready.
CEOs issued its quarterly outlook for the economy Wednesday, saying that supply chain problems that have existed since the pandemic would be geometrically magnified.
And it's estimated the walkout would have cost the U.S. economy at least $2 billion. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has sent a couple of plane loads of illegal immigrants north to the liberal enclave of Martha's Vineyard, Massachusetts. Spokesman for the Republican governor says it's part of the state's program of sending migrants to so-called sanctuary destinations. A judge puts an Ohio pro-life law on hold for now.
It prohibits most abortions after the first detectable fetal heartbeat. Cardiac activity can be detected as early as 6 weeks into pregnancy before many people know they're pregnant. Ohio's law went into effect after the U.S. Supreme Court overturned the Roe v. Wade decision in June. But the judge's action means abortions through 20 weeks gestation may resume for now, as was the case before the ban went into effect. Abortion providers represented by the ACLU of Ohio are seeking to permanently block the law. I'm Ben Thomas.
A tennis great, calling it a career. Roger Federer is retiring from professional tennis at the age of 41. Retirement comes after a series of knee operations, closing a career in which he won 20 Grand Slam titles, finishing five seasons ranked number one. Wall Street, the Dow down 50 points. The NASDAQ is off 161. The S&P 33 points lower. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Charlie Dombeck here from Key City Capital. As a practicing CPA for nearly 30 years, I have found that 80% of your ability to grow your wealth is dependent upon two factors, taxes and investment performance. At Key City Capital, we improve investment performance by diversifying capital into off-market investment opportunities in passive rental real estate and alternatives like asset-backed lending. We recover dollars that clients unnecessarily pay in the form of income taxes, creating a lifetime annuity of savings. We are a sponsor of passive, affordable single and multifamily residential rental investments, which are located in Sunbelt landlord-friendly states. These investments are the top choices in a rising interest rate and inflationary environment. They represent a store of value, protecting your capital from market volatility. Learn how we at Key City Capital can help you ultimately grow your wealth rapidly. Connect with me at keycitycapital.com or give me a call at 817-912-1569.
With monkeypox cases on the decline in the U.S. and Europe, many scientists say now is the time to prioritize stopping the virus in Africa.
In July, the World Health Organization designated monkeypox as a global emergency and appealed to rich countries to support Africa so that the vaccine inequity that plagued COVID would not be repeated. But as rich countries rushed to buy nearly all the world's supply of monkeypox vaccine, none have shared those vaccines or treatments with Africa. Since the 1970s, the virus has sickened people in parts of West and Central Africa, but it wasn't until the disease triggered unusual outbreaks in Europe and North America that public health officials even thought to use vaccines. I'm Julie Walker.
Armenia and Azerbaijan have negotiated a ceasefire, ending a flare-up of fighting that has killed 155 soldiers from both sides. News and analysis at townhall.com. If you chatted with friends about the 2020 election via Facebook Messenger, Big Brother may have been listening in.
According to the New York Post, sources within the Justice Department say that Facebook has been reading the private messages of Americans and reporting them to the FBI if they contain anti-government content or question the 2020 election. One source said, without a subpoena or probable cause, a Facebook employee flagged messages over 19 months' time and then passed them on to the Domestic Terrorism Operational Unit at FBI headquarters in Washington, D.C. Tayshia Stevens reporting.
During the first 2 years of the pandemic, the number of people working from home tripled. Home values grew, and the percentage of people who spend more than a third of their income on rent went up. That, according to a newly released survey by the U.S. Census Bureau. Again on Wall Street, the Dow down 28 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
And good morning. This is KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. You can jump into the chat room at kcnr1460.com or give us a call at 605-4567. It is Thursday morning, and this is Trish Clark. It's not Carl and Linda. And usually I'm here with Carl, but they're gone for a period of time. So I'm going to be hosting the show today and tomorrow. Looking forward to spending time with you and hopefully we'll get some phone calls. We're going to have as our guest this hour, Chris Kelstrom, who is a candidate for District 5 supervisor.
Good morning, everyone.
We'll be chatting with him. It's 59 degrees in downtown Reading. We're looking for a high today of 84, sunny, mostly clear, a low this evening of 58, and on Friday, a high of 88 and a low of 58. Mostly clear, and on Saturday, slight chance of showers, only 74 degrees. Saturday night, 57 degrees. And on Sunday, showers likely, a high of 64 and a low of 56. And on Monday, a high of 74 and a low of 56. And a kind of chance of showers all through next week. As I said earlier, I hope that that's a rain and we get some showers and not thunderstorms. And don't get a bunch of lightning strikes out in the hills, and because we sure don't need that now. And looks like the weather's going to stay like that. We get these false falls. That may be what we're looking at, but we'll hope not. The weather, as always, is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. They're locally and veteran-owned and operated. They give veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793. Nice Anderson-based business. We love having them down there. So, good morning, Mr. Kelstrom.
Good morning.
So, what in the world? Tell us about Chris Kelstrom and why in the world he wants to get messed up in this whole thing.
Yeah, I know. I sometimes question my own insanity, but, I don't know. I'm kind of tired of the same old, and, you know, politicians making promises and then 3.5 years do nothing and then make more promises later before the next election. And, it crossed my mind. It first came across my mind about 8 years ago. Our current supervisor kind of angered me a bit, and I was thinking, well, if nobody else runs against this guy, I will run against him. And then Melissa Hunt stepped up to the plate 4 years ago. Friend of mine, great gal, love her to death, and I was very happy that she stepped up to the plate because I didn't have to then. But then 4 years went by, and I just decided that, you know, regardless of who's going to be stepping into the ring, it's just time for me to come forward and throw my hat in. So,
tell us who Chris Kelstrom is.
So, born and raised right here in Shasta County, lived, you know, went to Enterprise High School, Shasta College, you know, grew up right here around the corner or just down the street here, started managing a store in 1987 at the ripe old age of 19 down in Anderson. You used to be a customer of mine, and in fact, your son used to work for me. So, managed to get into grocery management, did that forever, met my wife there. Former wife now, but moved down to Sacramento County to go for her schooling. One thing led to another. Life happened. We were down there for about 10-12 years, and you know, this was always home. We couldn't wait to get back home. Got my first taste of politics down there, local politics, and still leaves a bad taste in my mouth to this day, but it did get us back up here, which is great. So, yeah, I'm, you know, like I say, Shasta County native. I've been managing businesses probably 15 years, and then since that time, I've been in the customer service business. I've always been in the customer service business. I mean, you have to be in customer service to run a grocery store. I was a paper boy before that. I mean, from the ripe old age of 12, I think. So I've always been focused on customer service, and that caller earlier today that I heard on the way in here, that's one of my hot-button issues right there. So,
okay, well, good. So let's jump right into that.
Okay.
Certainly the issues in the planning department in the city of Reading and the county are a topic of conversation on a regular basis. How would Chris Kelstrom step into that situation and help make a difference?
Okay, so like I say, my background is customer service, been, you know, 40 plus years experience doing that. I think we need to bring that to some of our county departments. Now, some of our county departments are already fantastic, and I wouldn't change a thing. I think they're great. The ones I've dealt with recently have been fantastic, and all I can say is keep up the good work. But on the campaign trail, I hear horror story after horror story of people going through permit process and code enforcement and garden sheds too big. The most ridiculous one, I think, was a covered wood pile. Somebody had a cover on their wood pile. They considered it a structure. When the guy took the cover off to make the county happy, then they asked if he had a demolition permit to take the cover off. I mean, this is absolutely ridiculous, and it's got to stop. So one of the real simple solutions, in my opinion, you know, every fast food chain out there, every big box retailer, you know, all the businesses out there, they have a little tiny reporting issue at the bottom of the receipt. Hey, go to this website, you know, let us know how we did, how would you grade us, what can we do better, what did we do, you know, how can we improve, whatever. So I wanted every county counter, on every county receipt, a simple little website that says, hey, go to this and let us know how we did. I want a copy of that compliment or complaint, whichever it may be. I want a copy of that to go to each board of supervisor, the CEO, and that particular department head where that receipt was generated at. If, you know, a lot of departments, like I say, I records departments, I dealt with them. I would have gladly gone to the website and said, hey, you guys are great. You're helpful. You're knowledgeable. You're expedient. Keep up the good work. You guys are wonderful. This is how a county should run. When you get complaint after complaint after complaint after complaint from the same department over and over again, then you bring in the director and you, you know, have a little review with him or her, whoever it may be, and you tell them the culture needs to change in that department. I mean, they're going to have to change their culture or you change the department head. Quite simple. And I think, you know, some of these, for instance, the planning department, and I will be the first to tell you right now, I have not dealt with them directly. So these are not personal experiences of mine. Like I tell my kids, there's two sides to every story, and usually the truth lies somewhere in the middle. So I will, you know, temper my comments with that. But if there's complaint after complaint after complaint, you know, you need to change the culture there. You need those people, when a customer walks through the door, number one, that's a customer. They're there to be helped. I heard Mr. Gallagher talking about, you know, his experience was great with the planning department. So they walked through the door. He needed help. They gave him help. Everybody needs to be treated that way. When you walk through the door, that's a customer. Number two, that's a tax-paying citizen, and you're tax-funded. So that's your quasi-boss. So treat them accordingly. Treat them as a customer. They're there for help. Help them. They're there with questions. They're there. They want solutions to their problems. Help them. Don't hinder them. Don't harass them. You know, don't see which hoops you can make them jump through. Help them. Simple.
Yeah. And that certainly that direction needs to come from the entire board to make that stick.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, and again, there's most of the departments, I don't think we really need to change a whole lot, at least the ones I've had firsthand experience with. I wouldn't change them. The county clerk's office, I've gone in there quite often. Of course, that's the register of voters too. So there's been a lot of things, the paperwork I've had to file and you know, different information I've had to gather. And the people there have been just fantastic. I mean, top notch, fantastic, everyone I've dealt with. But a lot of times I'll have to wait for, you know, somebody to get me the thumb drive or whatever I'm there for. So I'll have to often sit back and I'll just kind of watch the interactions at the different windows and how the people are being treated. And I got to tell you, I have yet to see a negative, I'm sure it happens, but I've yet to see a negative interaction. I've yet to see somebody get up and be mad and upset, and, you know, I have yet to see that. So, again, keep up the good work. You guys are doing great. This is how county offices should be running. So.
Okay, good. Just to expand on that a little bit, certainly the election department has been a big thing in the conversation over the last several months. With the Board of Supervisors. They made a decision the other day not to try to interfere with the clerk's office to destroy those documents. What was your reaction to that?
You know, I don't know why we need to destroy them, and I often wonder. I know the state of California is 22 months, and you can destroy the documents. That alone leads me questions. Why are we destroying stuff? You keep your tax records for 10 years. You keep, you know, the You keep court records for, you know, decades. I mean, we keep so many records for years and years and years, and I think our elections are one of the most important things we do as Americans, and we feel a need to destroy them after 22 months. I really don't understand that. And if there's somebody pushing to destroy them after 22 months, you gotta ask yourself why.
Okay, good answer. Thinking about purchasing an electric car? Reading Electric Utility has rebates available can help offset the cost of your vehicle and charging station. Visit thecityofreading.org/EV for more information. Local, state, and federal rebates are available. We'll be right back after these messages.
I feel blessed. In the middle of the storm. In the middle of my trial, I'll still bless.
On Thursday, September 22nd, for Caffeinate for a Cause, from 7 to 9 a.m. and 2 to 4 p.m., $1 from all drink sales and tips given to our honorary baristas go towards supporting Turtle Bay's educational programs. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
30 years ago, Simpson University arrived in Redding with a promise to serve the North State. Warmly welcomed by this far Northern California community, we forged lasting partnerships, serving our neighbors locally as well as globally. Building on our promise, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Our promise to be the gateway to world service begins in our backyard. Learn more about Redding's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier in all we do.
Premier Oil Change has been locally owned and operated since we opened in 2006, enjoying long-term relationships with our team members and loyal guests. Many of our team members have worked with us for over 10 years. Many of our certified technicians have logged over 30,000 oil changes, working on hundreds of different vehicle makes and models. In an ever-changing world, we strive to keep up with change with our extensive training program. It's important to the staff at Premier Oil Change that our customers' cars are well taken care of by experienced, well-trained technicians, so you can depend on your vehicle to get you and your family to your destination. Don't forget that you can earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park or our newest location in Anderson across from Roundtable. Remember, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Join Turtle Bay and Dutch Bros Coffee on Thursday, September 22nd for Caffeinate for a Cause. From 7 to 9 a.m. and 2 to 4 p.m., $1 from all drink sales and tips given to our honorary baristas go towards supporting Turtle Bay's educational programs. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
And welcome back. This is KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. It's Thursday morning, and I'm hosting the show this morning. This is Trish Clark, and be with you today and tomorrow. Carl and Linda are out of town for a while, so We're going to have some guest hosts along the way and interesting people in the studio with us as we go. This portion of the show is brought to us by River Commons Senior Living, located at 301 Hartnell Avenue. Worry less, smile more. River Commons is a Northern California premier retirement community surrounded by natural beauty, ample recreation opportunities, the beautifully designed community. And it's not a care facility. It's a place to live, and don't worry about the lawn and the sprinklers and the air conditioner working, and just live your life and enjoy. And it's animal friendly. To see what River Commons can do for you, contact River Commons Senior Living. Arrange for a personalized tour at 238-5981. So my guest this hour in the studio is Chris Kelstrom. He's a candidate for Supervisor District 5. As I said earlier, we have two supervisorial districts that are up for re-election, District 1 and District 5. District 5 covers the South County. You're looking at Cottonwood, Anderson, Shingletown, Manton.
And now Happy Valley.
Yep. and no longer Churn Creek. I haven't really looked at the map. I used to know every corner of it, obviously, but I'm not real familiar. Somebody called me the other day and said, yeah, you know, you're going to check the map because I'm not sure whether you're in or out, and it's very confusing for people. So you need to be looking at your checking on that if you live in the Millville area or the Churn Creek Bottom area.
Millville's now out. It's no longer in District 5. And the Churn Creek Bottom area is, I've got to get the map and blow it up there because I have one friend of mine, actually, he's a local pastor that he was the first person to put my sign up. He asked me for a sign. He put the signs up in front of his property, the small yard signs. And then I've made another good friend just down the road from him. And, the pastor told me that I was not on his ballot. He had been removed from my district. Yet the other gentleman that I'm friends with was still in the district, and I was on his ballot. Well, the pastor couldn't understand, how is he still in your district? I'm closer to Anderson than he is. I said, well, you put my signs in your front yard, and they took you out of my district, probably.
that was one of the things. Now, let's talk about that, because one of the issues that came up during this rather tenuous time about the Board of Supervisors, and is anybody who doesn't know, there's been a lot of conversation about the board and the county and things that work and things that don't work, just simply hasn't been paying attention because there's just been a lot going on, as we know. One of the issues was that redistricting, and the previous board managed to put together a committee. I shouldn't be talking so much, but this irritated me so badly. They put together a committee, and they worked really hard to come up with couple of plans and made their suggestions, and then the previous board kind of ignored that and
threw it all out the window
and did some really ridiculous things with pulling people in. I know you get Carl started on that, and he goes ballistic because he's no longer
gerrymandering
district.
Nightmare.
Yeah, really a mess. So people are in all kinds of districts. That was my way of reminding you to check where you are in those districts to make sure you are still eligible to vote. And you should be doing that anyway to find out who your supervisor is.
Our current supervisor in District 2 gets to vote for me this time because he's no longer in his own district. Kind of funny how that worked. In the middle of a recall, three of the four candidates going against the person that was under recall got moved out of his district.
Yeah.
That's kind of odd.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's talk about some of the stuff that happened during the COVID. And the decisions that were made there, and now the county's in a position where we've got some vacancies that were created as a result of that. And how do you anticipate moving forward to reestablish the credibility for the board that you can actually hire somebody?
Yeah, and that's actually a difficult situation. A friend of mine has been giving me quite a bit of advice. He at one point ran one of the county offices here in Shasta County, and especially when it comes to mental health services and health and human services, those people are in great demand. He's actually gotten calls from all sorts of counties all throughout the state because he's qualified, he's done it before, and he doesn't want any part of it anymore. But he's, they're in great demand. So, I mean, there's no question about it. There's few of them out there. Now, I don't know exactly what the qualifications are. I don't know if you can lower the qualifications. You know, I'm not really sure. And I wasn't in closed session, so I can't really speak of what I would have done because I didn't hear all of the testimony. And, you know, again, two sides to every story. Somewhere in the middle lies the truth. So I've heard one side, and I've heard the other side as far as, but it's all secondhand information. So until I'm there, I couldn't tell you exactly what I would have done there. But, you know, we do have some positions that are open right now that we need to replace. So no question about it.
Well, and I think that at this point in time, because if I'm an outsider, just saying, if I'm an outsider and I'm looking at Shasta County and the reporting that's gone on and because we've had some very negative reporting, we've had some positive reporting, but if I'm looking at moving my family and everything into this county, I'll go back to how do you reestablish the credibility in the county to get people to want to come here?
You know, and that's actually something that kind of drives me nuts sometimes, because I'll hear a similar argument there of, well, why do we have these largely, you know, inflated salaries, City of Reading, the county too, to a certain extent, but City of Reading is the one that is the most of, and we have to raise our salaries or raise our prices or you know, employment cost because we need to compete with these other counties. And I just find that, quite frankly, I lived in Sacramento County for, you know, like I say, 10 years. I could move back there tomorrow and make twice the money I'm making right now. I choose to live here because I love this place and I love the area, and I'm willing to make less money to live where I want to live. So sometimes I think that's a bit of a false argument there where, well, we have to compete with, you know, Contra Costa County or El Dorado County or whatever, because we have to pay people more to get them here, to get the people here. Quite frankly, our cost of living here is lower than most of those areas, and it's a beautiful place to live. And, you know, I think we need to sell it to potential employees that, you know, you get to live in the most beautiful part of the state. So, again, I think it's a bit of a false argument. I know in the private sector, I can make a lot more money somewhere else than I can in Shasta County, and I choose to live in Shasta County.
Well, and certainly, so perhaps it's a marketing issue, and we need to market the county better and the quality of life. You're singing to the choir here, because
right.
I wouldn't move anyplace else. I can't imagine living anywhere
exactly.
else besides Shasta County. So you're absolutely right. There's a lot to draw us to live here. But I think that one of the things that we need to do is perhaps get that message across to the people that would be interested in these positions.
Yeah, and I do want to point out too, you know, I mean, I wasn't in the closed session, I wasn't in hearing firsthand, but I would like to point out that 2 years later, you know, all of us conspiracy theorist, tinfoil hat wearing people were correct. You know, we said the masks don't do any good. Well, the CDC now has come out and said, yeah, the masks really don't do any good. We questioned the, you know, efficacy of the vaccine. Well, you know, now they've come out and said, well, it really doesn't stop COVID. It doesn't stop the spread of COVID. It doesn't stop you from getting COVID. And it's really doesn't quite, it's not as effective as we first claimed it was. So.
And maybe even causes some harm.
Yes, that in. Exactly. So, I mean, you know, again, there was decisions. Our health department, or they were lockstep with California, and they were, you know, we were going to do mask mandates, we were going to do vaccines, we were going to do, you know, we're going to do everything that California told us to do. And there was a lot of us that were kind of pushing back, going, no, you know, we're not taking the vaccine, we're not wearing the masks, they don't work, and we're not doing it. Well, you know, we were the bad guys for a while, but now 2 years later, well, guess what? We were probably onto something. We were right. So. I know my personal experience with Dr. Ranstrom was the Cottonwood Rodeo. You know, we had gone to her, a friend of mine had gone to her, and then they'd gotten permits for food vendors and everything because we were holding the rodeo. We were the only one in the nation that held a rodeo that year. And at first she seemed to be willing, but the day before the rodeo, on Saturday before the rodeo, she wrote a letter to Governor Newsom to let him know that we were having this super spreader event and we shouldn't be doing it, and they should come crack down on us. So that left a pretty bad taste in my mouth. So I was not very happy about that. So, you know, again, I wasn't in closed session. I can't say what I would have done, but I do know that I had some questions, you know, to her loyalties there.
Well, and interestingly enough, we all kind of waited for that other shoe to drop, because had there been a spread incident as a result of the Cottonwood Rodeo, you'd have bet money. You'd have seen it all over the newspaper. And interestingly enough, we never did see that.
No, we didn't.
So it wasn't a problem. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
Convert your calling into a career at Shasta College this fall. Get a jump start on being transfer ready, or boost your current career skills quickly and affordably with a certificate or degree. Our fall semester offers flexible class times and formats with online and more in-person offerings. Plan your tomorrow today by enrolling at Shasta College. Fall semester classes begin August 15th. Achieve more. Earn more. Shasta College. www.shastacollege.edu. Enroll online today.
I'm Max Steiner, the Democratic candidate for Congress here in CD1. I am a combat veteran and a political moderate. I am pro-timber, pro-gun, pro-choice, and pro-America. I am not a typical woke Democrat, and I am not a career politician. My legislative priorities as your representative would cut across party lines. We need to protect the fundamentals of our democracy. We must reduce fire risk by thinning our forests, strengthening the timber industry, and hiring more firefighters. We need to build more dams to reduce the impacts of climate change. We should codify Roe v. Wade into law. Finally, we must ensure security abroad with a strong military and security at home with strong police forces. We need to make big changes in Washington. If we keep voting for the incumbents, nothing will ever change. We need politicians who will put principles over party, politicians who will say no to the far left and the far right. We need politicians who will truly put America first. In November, I would be honored to earn your vote.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Veterans, did you know that Shasta County Veterans Service Office is open to all veterans who have served our nation? Whether a combat veteran or a member of the reserves with limited active duty time, you have earned benefits. If you have any military benefit or veteran-related questions, call 530-225-5616 or stop by Shasta County Veterans Service Office at 1855 Shasta Street, Redding, California. This message is brought to you by Korean War veteran Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary, California Veterans Affairs.
Hi, this is Elle. Join me and my good friend and co-host Ron Lim for our new show, Ask Elle, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM every Tuesday night at 6 p.m. starting in September. We'll be exploring powerful topics on how to have a successful and satisfying relationship. See you here Tuesday nights at 6 p.m.
Brought to you by Carlene's and Deja Vu Restaurants.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. You can give us a call if you have a question for candidate Chris Kelstrom for District 5 Supervisor at 605 4567. I'm sure he'd appreciate your call. So you can jump into the chat room, KCNR1460.com. I can't walk and chew gum at the same time, so I don't look at the web page, but Nathan's in there, and if somebody throws out a question, he'll pass it on to us. So that'll work. I get very distracted if I try to look at the internet while I'm trying to talk at the same time.
Yeah, you're good.
Yeah, I don't do that so well. I know Carl does that, but I don't do that so well. This portion of the show has been brought to us by Shasta Regional Medical Center. It's one of the nation's 50 top cardiovascular hospitals, recognized by Watson Health, and is fully accredited chest pain center. Shasta Regional Medical Center, healing starts here. Is the only area hospital with Da Vinci 11 surgery robot. The Da Vinci surgical system helps enable your surgeon to perform minimally invasive surgery with an advanced set of instruments and a 3D definition view. Means less pain, reduced risk, and faster healing. Visit Shasta Regional Medical Center for more information. So, Mr. Kellstrom, let's talk about the issue that we talked a little bit more, the homeless issue, and the lands. A lot of land within Shasta County is publicly held land, and a lot more so, or timber held land. You have some kind of a plan to address that?
Well, the federal and state lands for sure. So, again, where I used to hunt above Shasta Lake, it was checkerboard in there. Every other square mile was either National Forest land or it was Sierra Pacific. And the trick was we could legally camp on National Forest land. You couldn't legally camp on Sierra Pacific land. But we didn't need a map to know where we were, because if we were in an area where the trees were thinned, there was a clear cut here and there, there was log landings, there was, you know, turnout roads, there was, you know, nice, open, good, clean, healthy forest and actual animals, and places you could camp, you were on Sierra Pacific land. If you got into this dense, dark, dank, horrible, thick fuel loads, you know, all over the forest floor, you were in National Forest land. And there wasn't room to pull a truck over the side of the road, let alone get out and set up a tent and a camp and whatever. And we literally spent weeks and weeks and weeks trying to find a legal spot that we could, you know, set up a camp when we were in there hunting. So, one of the things I want to do is, obviously, when you have that heavy of fuel loads that were, you know, either on the ground or in the trees themselves, when you have that heavy of fuel load, you get a wildfire and it's out of control. So, I have talked to a former forester over in Trinity County, and they actually did this over there where they pass a county ordinance that says you have to keep your fuel loads to within a certain, tons per acre. And he said the National Forest land or National Forest and, you know, parks and like in Shasta County in my district, you'd have a Latour State Forest, but they will curtail their management plan, their forestry plan, in to try to fit within that county ordinance. I don't want to do it for private landowners, just because I don't want, you know, old Mrs. Johnson out there to have to fire up her chainsaw at 85 years old and, you know, clear her own property because there's a county ordinance that's going to fine her. So I don't want to burden the private landowner, but I do want to burden our federal government and our state government. Now, the state forest, like I say, Latour, it's in great shape. Lassen National Park, it's in really good shape. Lassen National Forest and Shasta Trinity National Forest, not so much. There's some huge messes. After 92, when they stopped logging, they really haven't, you know, thinned our forest or got less of the fuel loads off the floors. So I want to force them to do that. I would rather have them clean our forest first before a wildfire rather than wait for a wildfire that burns everything. It burns the private land too, burns homeowners, burns everybody. And then beg them for federal dollars for relief. I want them to clean their forest. And if they can't clean their forest, then, you know, the county can take those over. Those are not, they do not own that land. You know, people think, oh, that's National Forest land. You know, the federal government owns it. No, the federal government doesn't own it. You read the Constitution, they own 10 miles around Washington, D.C. They don't own they manage our National Forest land within our county. So we need to get them to manage it better. Yeah.
Just to expand on that a little bit, you indicate you don't want to do it to private property owners. If you check in your district around the city of Anderson limits and the Anderson Fire Protection Districts, you will find that, we constantly have the issues with, we have a very strict ordinance for, within the city and the Anderson Fire Protection District, and we do enforce it, and we take into consideration elderly people and try to help them and work with the assessor's office and the tax office and all those things to try to help people abide by that. However, what we have is when we boundary touch and we're this side of the street, we're enforcing our very strict code about keeping down the, you know, so we don't have fire danger. And across the street from them is a mess, and it's because the county doesn't have a good policy about making people clear the way they're supposed to, and it's a lack of enforcement.
Yep.
How can you address that and perhaps solve that issue?
And again, I don't want to burden the private landowner now. If in those situations, you know, maybe we need to, but there's tons of grant money out there for fuel load mitigation. I mean, there's tons of grant money, and I want to use that grant money for the private landowners. So I would like the county to be able to go to these people and say, hey, listen, we can get your property cleared. It's not going to cost you anything. We'll have a grant. You know, we've got crews in the area already, whatever the case may be. So I definitely want to encourage that, no question about it. There's fire safe councils. There's one up in Shingletown that's been established and is doing a really good job. They're starting to form one up in Happy Valley right now. One of the ladies that's, you know, the main force behind forcing this fire safe council, her neighbor is, I guess, I haven't seen the property myself, but from what she describes, it's a nightmare, and he refuses to clean his property, refuses to reduce the fire risk. There may be a time when you do need to write an ordinance saying, you know, but in the meantime, I have talked to some CAL FIRE guys. It's the CAL FIRE investigator that needs to go out there and needs, you know, and they're short staffed. They don't have enough guys to go around, but that's who takes care of it in the county right now is CAL FIRE needs to go in, and then they can find them. They have the ability to find them now. It's just they don't have the manpower. So, you know, we may need to increase that manpower. I mean, but I definitely want to encourage private property. I definitely want to make grants available to do private property for free. My ordinance is going to be directed at the federal governments or the federal lands and the state lands. If there's still a lot of risk out there or a lot of properties that need to be cleaned, then we can expand that ordinance to go into private property too.
I think one of the areas that county seems to be have some extra money from different things at this point, and I think perhaps your enforcement in code enforcement all the way around at the county. I mean, do you think it's ample?
Yeah. Well, and the code enforcement's a good point. Kind of going off Rourke's comments earlier, I mean, that's something else that I would kind of like to redirect our efforts and our personnel at. Is it drives me crazy when I hear all these stories about, you know, they got a landowner because they put up a carport or they put up a doughboy pool they bought at Costco or they, you know, I mean, or their garden shed's too big or whatever. I mean, and code enforcement's out there, you know, on these people. In the meantime, you've got these transient camps that just seem to be ignored. You got large-scale marijuana grows, and I'm not talking about the guy that has two or three plants in his backyard. I don't really care about that. I'm talking large-scale marijuana grows where there's pesticides, there's fertilizers, or whatever. So I would like to redirect some of our code enforcement personnel to actually work on some of the serious problems that are bringing the county down rather than the homeowner that's already overtaxed that, you know, put up a doughboy pool from Costco because they're tired at the end of the day and they want to get in a little dip of water and, you know, now you have to have a fence and an alarm and the whole bit. So I would really like to redirect the efforts of code enforcement and the health department too. You know, after the fair, a lot of the animals that are bought at the fair are donated back and they're barbecued and they're sold in dinners. And my opponent was down there with the Rotary and I was down there with another private vendor. And tell you what, both of us worked our tails off all day long in the hot sun, barbecuing up, you know, animals and making the bread and the beans and the whole bit. And I mean, we were, and it was all volunteers. It was all, you know, donated equipment. All these guys were professional food handlers. They had their proper permits, their food handling license, everything. And here comes the health department to come down there and inspect them. Now, she's a nice enough gal. I went and introduced myself to her and gave her my card and I got her card. And I just tried to kind of friendly talk to her and say, you know, I understand what you're doing here is really important. I mean, you know, these professional food handlers that do this for a living and have all the proper permits and training and license, you know, you want to make sure that they're doing this stuff all right. And you're here on overtime, so obviously it must be pretty important. I said, but, you know, there's some other health concerns that I'm kind of concerned with. When you have transient camps and human waste going right into our waterways, you know, untreated, syringes, litter, I mean, garbage everywhere, that's kind of a serious health department issue too, don't you think? And she's, oh yeah, yeah. And she says, we have a program where we put them in hotels and the hotel owners call us because it's so horrible. We have to bring in environmental services with basically hazmat suits to clean these rooms after they've been in there. And I said, yeah, I'd almost think that that's probably a more of a health code situation worse than these food handlers out here, you know, possibly leaving the pork chop on the table for 5 minutes before it goes on the grill. I mean, don't you think? Oh yeah. So how can we refocus our direction to maybe, I said, I'm not going to send you in a homeless camp by yourself. Don't get me wrong, but how can we refocus our, you know, our personnel and our people to go down and take care of some of the real problems out there, rather than this here. So I don't know if she got the irony in my talking to her a little bit, but it's like that is the stuff that I really code enforcement. Hey, let's go after some transient camps. Let's go after some of these large scale marijuana grows. I mean, let's you know, not necessarily ignore, but maybe put them further down the list. Maybe the person that put up the carport from Costco, let's put them below the list of the human waste that's going into our waterways.
Good points. All right. So if you have questions for Chris Kellstrom, anything you'd like to have him address in the next portion, which is our final portion coming up, give us a call at 605-4567, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at estategranite.com.
The elders of our community, men and women who've led commendable lives. After working hard, raising families, serving their communities, and some serving our country, many find their safety and well-being is at risk. They risk losing their health, independence, and becoming vulnerable to many forms of abuse. The good news is we can all make a difference. Shining Care invites you to the Healthy Aging Fair. Make plans to attend September 15th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Orchard Nutrition Center, 221 Locust Street in Reading. Drive through and grab your free goodie bag filled with resourceful information or park and visit all of the resource booths. Age well by visiting the Healthy Aging Fair September 15th, 10 to 1. For more info, go to shiningcare.org and we'll see you at Orchard Nutrition Center for the Healthy Aging Fair September 15th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Special thanks to our community partners, PSA2 Area Agency on Aging, Long-Term Care Ombudsman Program, and Orchard Nutrition Center.
At Shasta Regional Medical Center, we're specialists in emergency care with the experience and training to deliver expert diagnosis and treatment to all emergency patients. Shasta Regional Medical Center is certified as an advanced primary stroke facility and is one of the nation's 50 top cardiovascular hospitals and is a fully accredited chest pain center. In an emergency, when every minute has meaning and every second counts, choose Shasta Regional Medical Center, your choice for emergency care. Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring for our community when minutes matter.
Find the decor that you might be looking for at Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage at 1773 Highway 273 in the Shasta Gateway Center in Anderson, which features antique, shabby chic, and farmhouse furniture, tables, chairs, dressers, mirrors, prints, paintings, photographs, framed canvases, sculptures, unique glassware, including vases, punch bowls, and vintage tumblers, goblets, teacups, saucers, and silverware, and much more. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage at 1773 Highway 273 in the Shasta Gateway Center in Anderson.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
And welcome back. This is KCNR 96.5 FM. It is Thursday morning. This has been Trish Clark, and we've been visiting this hour with Shasta County Supervisor candidate Chris Kellstrom, talking about all kinds of issues, and we have a phone call. We're going to go to the phone right now and speak with Nick. Good morning, Nick.
Hey, good morning. Chris, I want to bypass the part about staffing a jail. I've got some inside information on that. If you wanted to call my show Sunday, Poke the Hornet's Nest, we could talk about that. But you've expressed in the past that you're for building a jail just north of the existing tower. It might be two stories. It could be expanded to three, that we could get it up and going real quick. I'm wondering, how quick could we get that there, and do we have the financing to do that, in your opinion?
Yeah, my understanding is we do have the financing. There's a temporary courthouse there now, and of course we're building the other courthouse across the street there. So you can put a modular jail there. It starts out with just under 300 beds for the first floor, and then my understanding is you can keep expanding upwards and adding more floors to it. The problem is, a lot of our problems stem from no jail space, no jail beds. A lot of the homeless issues and the mental health issues and the drug addiction issues, in my opinion, all are result or are hindered by no jail beds. I truly believe that, and I've actually talked to a pastor that works with the homeless a lot, and he said it might surprise you as a pastor, but I'm all for a 30-day jail sentence. He says if you get these people in there, get out of their system, get the drugs out of their system, and then offer them help with a clear mind, you're going to have a lot more success. He's also said that, you know, the court-appointed drug programs, they need to be immediately sent to them upon sentencing, not 30 days from now, 60 days now, report here. As soon as they are, you know, remanded to that, they need to be taken away immediately and sent there, rather than get back on the streets, get back into their old habits, and then, you know, go to the drug program. So I think a lot of our problems start with, we need more jail space, we need more jail beds, we need, you know, get people cleaned up and offer them services at that point with a clear mind. Part of our problem right now, though, is we can't staff the jail we have. So if we build another jail with 300 beds and we already have our jail with a floor closed, well, I don't know, you know, what good's another jail going to do? So that's the first issue we need to address, is we need to get some help to get some more people there, get some more. It's from what Michael Johnson says, it's a retention issue rather than a hiring issue. They're hiring people, but, you know, they'll hire 12 people and 10 will have left by the time they get those 12 put in there. So,
well, to finish my question, how soon could we get a jail built?
Well, from my understanding, like within a year. I mean, it should be within a year that we can get a temporary jail, or, you know, a modular jail set up there.
Well, that would be fantastic. I think the staffing can be cured. I personally think it's a lot of it is they're wanting more money.
Well, you know, and honestly, Nick, my understanding is a jail guard right now, a correctional officer, I mean, they start them out at like $18 an hour. Well, you can pretty much go to Starbucks, you know, or the new Costco and make $18 an hour or more. So If I had my choice, and the hours are the same, I mean, you're working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and you're working Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, New Year's in the jail. So,
I talked to a fellow that was, in fact, up there that was working in the jail, and they let him go. But he told me, he says, there's guys up there that don't accept the overtime, and they just said no. And it wasn't a problem. They still had their jobs. So I kind of think that they're overworked. And he said the ones that are getting the overtime are wanting it. And that's why I say I think it's being blown out of proportion. And, you know, I just feel that we're misled quite a bit. Like, you know, now they've all of a sudden discovered that they're going to have to build a skyway or a tunnel over to the courthouse. Didn't they know that when they built the damn thing?
Yeah, and I still question why we built a brand new courthouse because we needed a bigger, better building, and then we built it the same size.
Well, but that isn't a county decision; that's a state issue.
Yeah, I get that, but I still, at the life of me, I cannot figure out why we need to expand the courthouse and we build one the same size. No. I don't get it. I mean,
I think Patrick Jones said we gained one courtroom.
Okay, well, I guess it's a bigger courthouse.
Have a great day.
All right, you too.
Thank you, Nick. Okay, so final wrap up. We haven't talked about ACID. We haven't talked about that issue, which is certainly one of the biggest issues in the South County. Those of us who live down there and certainly are aware of it, but I think everybody in the state's aware of it. So, what are your thoughts on that whole situation?
Boy, yeah, it's an environmental nightmare that was brought to us by an environmental group, ironically. So, an environmental group down south. When Trump was in office, he decided that, rightly so in my opinion, needed to change the position of the water users. So he wanted to move ranchers and farmers back up the chain where they belong, above fish and recreation and everything else. Well, of course, they filed a lawsuit, finally found an activist judge in Fresno that sided with them, and it came down to zero water. No water at all for the entire northern Sacramento Valley. Everywhere north of Sacramento is supposed to get 0% water. The Bureau of Reclamation negotiated down to 18%, which would do the ACID district absolutely no good. The people in Colusa, for instance, that have a cement ditch, you put 18% of the water in there, buy some extra water credits, you can fill the ditch. 18% of water here in an earthen ditch would have sunk in about Crown Motors from what they said and would have been gone. So our water board, you know, made the only decision they could at the time, with the information they had. They still stick by that. That's the only thing they could have possibly done, which, you know, quite frankly, maybe that is probably the only thing they could have done. I mean, the water is worth millions of dollars, even though it was going to do us absolutely no good. But now that this has gone on and that ditch has been empty, I mean, it's literally caused an environmental nightmare in the South County. Anderson Creek's completely dry. Some of the big ponds down there are completely dry. You know, I've had to dodge turtles on Balls Ferry Road. You know, I've seen other turtles that were hit. I mean, it's just absolutely so sad and devastating. And again, all brought to us by an environmental group.
Yeah, and the solution certainly is going to be a hard one to reach. Everybody needs to be working together, in my opinion, to make sure this does not become a year after year situation.
Now, one of the things I've been looking at, and I brought to the water users group, and of course they were like, "Hey, this is exactly what we need to do. This is great." I did talk to the chairman of the board. She said that she doesn't think we can do it, because it's not a diversion point, that's with the Bureau of Reclamation. But, you're familiar with Reading Island, I'm sure, Trish. So I take my boy there and we go kayaking. Okay. Well, the water that flows down and goes underneath the bridge and past the boat ramp and back out in the Sacramento River, if you look on a map, it says it's Anderson Creek, but it's actually not Anderson Creek water because there is no water in Anderson Creek right now. So that's actually diverted river water that was diverted out of one point of the river, goes through that channel, and goes back into the river. Well, our ACID canal is somewhat similar. And my thoughts on this, and I really want to look into this more, I want to see, you know, what exactly we would be breaking. If it's a simple rule of the Bureau of Reclamation, well, then let's break the rule. I don't care. Sometimes it's better to ask for forgiveness than for permission. But our ACID canal, you know, if we could divert water out of the river through that canal and back into the river, we're not taking our 18% of water is gone. We're not gonna irrigate with it. It's gone. We've sold it. It's gone. We can't do that. But why couldn't we divert water from the river back into the river? if that water went through that ditch, all the aquifers that are drying up in Churn Creek Bottom and Wooded Acres, those aquifers would be replenished. All these waterways, Anderson Creek and Olney Creek and Churn Creek and some of these creeks that are completely dry now, they would be replenished a little bit at least. The wetlands, the ponds, you know, the California State Wetland Mitigation Bank, which is now dry. And I'll tell you what, if I had to buy a mitigation credit in the past, I'd be wanting my money back right now. But all those wetlands would be replenished with this water, you know, and again, we're not taking the water. We're just diverting it. We're just moving it from one part of the river back into another part of the river, but it would solve 90% of our problems we have right now.
Okay. So we're just kind of really out of time here. I had was going to give you a chance to wrap up, but that was a pretty good wrap up anyway. So thanks, Chris, very much for coming over.
Thanks for having me.
Hoping everybody out there is paying attention. We do have this election coming up. As I said before, if you're not part of the solution by being involved and know what you're doing, then you're part of the problem. See you tomorrow morning. This is KCNR 96.5. God bless America.
KCNR, Shasta, Red.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.